Good morning. My name is Uli McDonald and I am Vice President of your Church Council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. There will be no Sunday forum next week for the Columbus Day weekend. And next Sunday, the LYO will be hosting a movie fundraiser, and that is at 3:30 in the fellowship room. They will be showing a family-friendly Halloween movie. Admission is $5 and concessions will be sold, and you all are welcome. Join Paul Biesinger for a watercolor class this Thursday morning, and that is at 9:30 in Redeemer Hall. The list of materials needed can be found on the flyer on the bulletin boards, or you can call the church office. And finally, join us on Sunday, October 27th, and it's from 12 to 3 in Redeemer Hall for our Oktoberfest featuring the Ausländers Band. Please call the church office to make your reservation. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you and God bless.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host at this meal, the builder of the city that is to come. Amen. If we have died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. Let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful. God, our helper, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We have been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to the new life you have chosen for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you or forsake you. You who were lost have been found. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the angels at this good news. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray together. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the young people to come forward for some time with Pastor Brenda.
Good morning, good morning. Come on. Oh, thank you. All righty. Thank you. Hopefully I won't forget them there. So I have a question for you guys. Who helps you grow in your faith? Yeah. Me? Yes, that's one. Who helps you grow in your faith?
God.
God? Relia? Your grandma? Who else? Who helps you grow in your faith? Yeah. Everyone, that's a perfect answer. I mean, they're all perfect answers. So today we hear a story that Paul is writing to Timothy, his friend, and he says, I know the faith of your grandmother and your mother, and now that faith lives in you. And we are told that from the very beginning of our faith journey. How many of you guys remember your baptism? You remember your baptism? I don't remember mine. I was a little child. But there were promises that were made on our behalf. And I made them, and your grandparents made them, and your parents and your aunts and your uncles made them. And you know what? Everybody here made them. They made promises to help you grow in your faith. And that's really important because we can't do it ourselves, right? What is faith if we don't have community? Is community important? What's church without community? Could we have church without everybody here? If I wasn't here, could we have church? If Pastor Miller wasn't here, could we have church? No, I mean, we could, but it wouldn't be the same, would it? Do anybody remember what those promises were? What are some of the promises you think we made at your baptism? How about I remind all of us here those promises we made in baptism? Did you know that through the Holy Spirit and trusting in grace and love of God that we desire, all of us desire for everyone to be baptized into Christ? And that we have been entrusted with these things to grow, to help you grow in your faith. That we live among God's faithful people. And we do that pretty well on a Sunday morning, don't you think? We have worship and then we have fellowship. We live pretty well here. That we bring them to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. We do that every week, don't we? We come and listen to the Word and we have a meal. We teach them the Lord's Prayer and the Creed and the Ten Commandments, that we place in your hands Holy Scriptures, and that we nurture you in faith and prayer. That we teach you to learn to trust God and proclaim Christ through word and deed, and to care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. And we ask that of everybody here. And they answer in a resounding, we will, and we ask God to help us. So do you make those promises? Do you think this is something you can live into? To grow in faith and to teach others about faith? To teach others about God's love? You think you can? All right. I think you can too. I think that we do that throughout everyday living. And I still learn some of this stuff today. Pastor Miller still teaches me. And our friends out here still teach me things about God's love that I just don't know. And that we can't do that alone. So today, while you're in Sunday school and throughout the day and throughout the week, I want you to think about some of those people in your life that promised to do this, that promised to help you grow in faith and in love of God. And if you happen to see them or think about it, tell them thank you. Write them a little note. Tell them that you're so happy that they are in your life to teach you about God. Does that sound manageable? Think you can do that? Good. Let's end with prayer and we can go upstairs. Good and gracious God, thank you for planting in us faith the size of a mustard seed. That faith can truly grow wild and abundant and reaches out to all the corners of the earth. We thank you for the community in Christ we have here and that we have been knitted together and promised to each other that we would continue to nurture and help others grow in faith. That through the love and grace you show us here, we can go out into the world and show that love and grace to others, even if it's just through a simple smile and a thank you. And all these things we ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, have fun upstairs.
The first reading for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Habakkuk, the first and second chapters. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and it does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith, the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second reading for today is recorded in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I've entrusted to him. Hold the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray first with me this morning. Good and gracious God, thank you for this day and for gathering us here once more around your word and meal. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that you experience suffering and pain. Stir in us the memory of consolation and mercy, that through your love we might see the light on our path. And all these things we ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It is okay to question. It is okay to question God. It is okay to demand answers and to demand answers from God. In our Old Testament text today, the prophet goes to the watchpost to await additional instruction from the Lord to challenge God for an explanation. The prophet this morning isn't naive. He expects to be reprimanded for speaking harshly to the Lord. But the prophet does not intend to back down. Elie Wiesel, the 1969 Nobel Peace Prize laureate, said, "The Jew may love God, or he may fight with God, but he may not ignore God." And the prophet is doing just that. He is going to argue with God, knowing that the full resolution of his question must come from God. The prophet has set up a lament that contains a petition for God's intervention. And laments can be found throughout the Bible, especially in the Psalms. The prophet cries out, "How long?" implying that it has been a while since he started his complaint unanswered, and that this lack of response gives birth to the prospect of a divine apathy. The prophet is calling out violence, which is tantamount to calling out fire in a crowd. But God does not come to the rescue. On the contrary, God forces the prophet to witness conflict and contention. The prophet finds the destruction, devastation, and immediate menace. But God does not seem to take note of it. Ignatius of Loyola wrote of the rhythm of consolation and desolation. In consolation, we are drawn closer to God, while in desolation, we find it more difficult to feel God's presence. In times of desolation, we are sustained by those times when we felt the movement of the Spirit more closely. This protest to God of unanswered prayer is a common human complaint. The prophet, as well as people today, including myself, asks, why indeed does God allow suffering? Why does God not answer the prayers of the faithful? Why the apparent divine silence in the face of human misery and earnest, devout pleading? There have definitely been times in my life where I ask God these questions and even more. Where my anger at the injustice in the world and honestly what feels like suffering in my own life overflow, and I scream and I yell at God, who seems to be a God that isn't near. When loved ones and friends fight terminal illnesses, when in death we lose our parents and our children, when we see other humans treated as less than because of the color of their skin, where they were born, what they believe in, and who they love, I cry out in anger and frustration. Tears of despair stream down my face, and I say the same words of many other laments. How long, O Lord? And in the silence, it seems that God is either indifferent or has a profound explanation that is beyond fathoming, or it suggests that there is, after all, no God. Wiesel writes in his book Night of a Death Camp Inmate asking, "Where is God? Where is he?" When a youth is hanged by the SS, was still in agony after 30 minutes. The paradox of lament is that there is no lament without a foundation of faith. Grief, sorrow, despair can and do all exist alongside a void of faith. But argumentative lament presupposes that someone, that God, is listening. Habakkuk believes that an answer will come, and because he has had such experience of this consolation and clarity before. Faith in a God who has proved faithful to us and to our ancestors, and that such faith does not answer all of our questions or dispel all of the suffering, but it does give us light on the way. The prophet declares that he be on watch at a lookout station, communicating that he is determined to persist until God give him an audience. His vow underscores that the answer he seeks has to come from God. And Habakkuk would counsel that the troubles do not constitute a ground of despair, for in the end, God's design will be made manifest. The first part of today's reading from chapter 1 of Habakkuk advises the people of God to be faithfully bold in wrestling with God, And chapter 2 keeps alive and burning the faith in God's triumph, no matter what odds may be stacked against the pursuit of God's justice. In 2012, I had the chance to travel to Germany, and as part of that travel trip, I visited the Buchenwald concentration camp. I saw firsthand, at least in what remained and what was discovered there, the atrocities that were committed. I toured the grounds where only plots remain of the housing blocks. I walked through the crematorium and the corpse cellar, which is exactly what you think it is, and more. I visited the intake building where people were stripped down and scrubbed down raw in order to disinfect them and make them clean. This building, long since renovated, with its long, sterile hallways and its endless lines of people waiting for what was next, not knowing what was to come, opens up into a large room, now converted into a museum to tell the history of Nazi Germany and of Buchenwald. But it also told the stories of those imprisoned there. It showed the artwork discovered after the camp was liberated, artwork that was created by prisoners from whatever they could find and that they could hide. And in this artwork, in the drawing showing the grotesque bodies of fellow inmates being starved and worked to death, in sculptures made out of metals and other objects used to carry out abuses no one can even imagine, these artists, these creators of such work showed hope. They showed a faith in God that never abandons, shows a God who is always present. In the conversation with the death camp inmate that Weisel writes of in Night, he continues saying that he found himself answering within, "Where is he? He is here. He is hanging in the gallows." Jesus is found in the gallows, found hanging on the cross. In this incarnation, God experiences that deep human fear that there is no God. Here, at least, God knows what it is like to pray a prayer that seems to go unanswered. So again, let me tell you a secret. It is okay to be angry. It is okay to cry out in a lament to a God who doesn't seem to be answering our prayers. It is okay to question, to demand answers, to stand at our watchposts until an answer comes. It is okay because God knows what lost prayer is. God experiences lost prayer. God is there in the trenches and in the gallows with us, crying out and lamenting alongside of us with shouts of how long. That in our desolation, the Spirit moves us, reminding us of our consolation that comes despite the injustices and despite the workings in the world that would turn us away from God. God doesn't just show up. God was always there, watching, waiting, lamenting alongside of us. Amen.
Thank you.
Confessing to the one who is faithful, we are bold to share in the Apostles' Creed, found on page 11 in your worship bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Knowing the one in whom we trust, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all those in need. Increase the faith of your church, O God. Give us courage when we are reticent in sharing your love. Renew in us your holy calling according to your own purpose and grace. Strengthen all communities of faith, including the Buffalo City Cluster, Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Tend the garden of your creation that teems with all kinds of life. Restore us as caretakers of animals and plants, mindful of the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Destruction and violence are ever before us, and strife and contention rise up in many nations. Draw to yourself all the people of the world, emboldening them to strive for peaceful and just solutions to conflict. We pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and for their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You promise life and wholeness to those who wait patiently for you, and you hear those who cry out to you for help. Heal the sick, bind up the brokenhearted, and attend to all in need of your care. We also pray for all of those that we name out loud and for those that we remember in the silence of our hearts. Moses for Alberta. Lord, in your mercy, rekindle your gift of love in this community. Bind together the weak and the strong, those with little faith and those with much. Help us to respond to one another with Christ-like compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Watch over all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today, for Richard, for Julia, and Samantha. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember with gratitude the faithful who have guided the next generations. Gather us and all your holy ones into the eternal risen life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting and delighting in you, we commend all our lives into your loving hands. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Let us rise and pray together. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it, except the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with the life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. God of blessing, at this table we have seen you face to face, and in the gift of Christ's body and blood, our hearts have been refreshed. Send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Compassionate God, as Jesus called disciples to follow him, bless those who go forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, or imprisoned. May these gifts be signs of our love and prayers, that through the sharing of the body and blood of Christ, all may know your grace and healing, revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, bless you with grace, mercy, and peace, now and forevermore. Amen.
Go in peace, live in love as Christ loved us. Thanks be to God.